Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter today for Senior Focus. And this week it's been White Ribbon Day. That's the 25th of November, an international day that focuses on family violence, interpersonal violence. And in New Zealand it was marked by a very determined group of motorcyclists turning up to Parliament. I think that was on the evening news. 41% of police time is currently spent on family violence harm, and that's not just going to incidents, but it's doing wraparound in-depth work with trying to prevent further violence. So there's one case every 4 minutes. So when you hear sirens, police sirens, it isn't that they're going to burglaries, it's highly likely they're going to some family violence incident. Last night I was at a dinner that was set aside to award volunteers who work in the community to support victims and prevent further violence. And at that dinner, Mandeep Kerr, an inspector with the police, spoke on the changes that she'd seen in policing over time. She escaped from her own situation of family violence in India to New Zealand, later bringing her children with her, and how she worked consistently at her goal of becoming a policewoman, and what personal challenges she had in doing that were part of her presentation and part of the presentation that people spoke about her on the stage. But the thing that struck me was how intense it is for police working in this field day in and day out, being present at the harm, seeing the harm firsthand, and knowing that some of it's going to go on into the next generation. And I reflected on 50 years ago answering the door on Christmas Day to a woman whose six-week-old baby had been snatched by her partner. And there wasn't the police response there is now. We were simply having to respond to a situation, and we didn't have a great deal of knowledge or skill or context in which to work the way the police have. But we were relieved to find that the partner had managed to get somebody to wet nurse the baby, because what I was facing was a woman who was in great distress because her breasts were very swollen, sore, and leaking milk all over her dress. And this was a hot day, and it was a very trying situation. Interpersonal violence takes place in a variety of ways, and like the New York mayor, who decided the best response to crime was to have zero tolerance and not put up with broken window panes, but actually do something right at that interface, at the simplest point. The same thing could be true with interpersonal violence on a continuum, starting with negative unwanted comments that show lack of respect to somebody, through to a full-scale homicide. In New Zealand, too many women die at the hands of their partner, and it's more than 17 a year, and it's certainly the most serious cause of murder. But probably what is most pronounced has been the increase in unwanted comments and negative comments that people feel that society permits them to make such comments or allows them to be that negative. And we have a rise in the incidence of hate speech. And this has been commented on by a number of people who monitor this and who watch. But currently we don't have any data collection, unlike family violence, which is very well documented by police. They even have a traffic light system now where not only does every incident get logged, but particular individuals are being tracked. So if a woman is receiving threats, then the colour may change depending on the intensity and the nature of those comments and whatever else might be involved, threats or actual actions, often targeting the animal that the woman loves is a way of frightening her and threatening her further. And what people will do to the animal is indicative of what they really would like to do to the person. So slicing the cat and putting it in the oven is, you know, a classic, but it has happened. And some of the reasons why women find it hard to leave partners is often because they have nowhere to put the animal. They can't, for example, easily find housing when they've got pets. So somebody has actually set up a refuge for such animals across the central North Island. They are taking them in those kind of contexts so that women can escape relationships, but getting the information out that such a place exists and so on, it's all part and parcel of giving a context to people. So much still takes place in people's lives that's behind closed doors and isn't always obvious to everybody. Going back to hate speech, I think it is a topic that has yet to really receive serious attention. As I say, there's no data collection because there's no definition of what constitutes hate speech. But we have a gap in our legal framework. Other countries are very clear about this. It's designated as a crime and there is legislation on the books to describe this. And in New Zealand, because of this gap, it's an open invitation for people not only to continue to make verbal comments themselves, but comment on Facebook then can gather momentum and be amplified. That was what was behind the Christchurch shooting. Didn't come out of nowhere. It wasn't just a random act by a mentally deranged person. It was a highly orchestrated thing that involved using the social media as a platform, ensuring maximum coverage to millions of people. And because we don't have that legislative control over hate speech, we have a weakness in our system which does permit this kind of activity and this kind of result on social media. So we maybe can't control what happens once it gets on social media, but if it was an offence, then we could be acting more early in the piece. And like the broken window pane theory, we could be doing zero tolerance and maybe elimination and would be preventative. It's definitely something that people want to see in some quarters. I know that last year there was a visit by overseas speakers who wanted to book a hall, and Mayor Gough halted that by saying we want to preempt hate speech. And that produced quite a strong debate. People have opinions about free speech, but when you really look at it seriously, nowhere, whether it be broadcasting, parliament, newspapers, nowhere is free speech totally free with no control. It just doesn't exist, and it doesn't, it isn't part of a democracy or a country that values and respects individuals, and we shouldn't have a platform that really permits hate speech to occur, whether it be social media or anywhere. So when I heard Dr. Paul Spoonley speaking about this last week at the Pathways Conference, I was taken with the fact that he talked about it in a context of ignoring hate speech simply allows intensification and more things to happen subsequently, as we saw with the shooting in Christchurch. And then he switched to the increase in hate speech against seniors, not from the point of view of so much intensity, perhaps, as with Islamophobic comments, but he commented on the rise of people who find it very easy to show disrespect to older people and who are really advocating dissing them in some way or another, whether it's blaming them for the state of the planet, whether it's blaming them for being an obstacle to political change, whether it's blaming them for lack of resources or gobbling up resources. There are all kinds of reasons behind it, but it's definitely on the increase. And it is worrying because it means a softening up of people's attitudes towards elder abuse. And elder abuse, as I've talked many times on this program over the years that it's been running, is a major threat to people's lack of well-being, lack of ability to relax and enjoy themselves and feel that they are part of society and they're wanted and they're acknowledged and respected for what they've given to society. And we don't have to agree with everybody and everyone's views, but we do need to have the feeling that older people are a part of our society and a valued part and are not ignored or invisible. And that's something we're fighting in terms of ageing well and having the concept of positive ageing enforced in terms of policies at council and government level. So hearing Dr. Paul Spoonley speaking about this matter got me thinking long and hard, and I recognise that we do actually have to have some controls over hate speech that we haven't got currently, and that we will need a combined and collaborative effort on the part of all senior organisations to actually put pressure on the government to do something about this. It's not going to happen by sitting back and doing nothing. And, you know, we really owe it to all of our elders, all of the people who are older than us, because we're going to go there. We're going to be those people in some further future time. And we don't want to see situation deteriorate. We don't want to see a rise of people deciding that we're an easy target and they can do things and get away with it because no one's noticing what's being said. They won't notice what's being done either. The changes that took place in Nazi Germany were done over time until people were conditioned to accept what was happening to the Jews. I do think that the euthanasia bill, and while I'm not going to talk about that, I'm simply going to comment that its existence has brought up a wave of thought, and some of that thinking is about maybe measuring the value of a person's life and deciding when in fact they shouldn't be around any longer. And I do think it's a problematic issue in some situations when there's easy access to being able to interfere with somebody's life, put pressure on them and make them feel unwanted in some way. And so that's the issue that we've got to find a way to deal with, to sharpen tools, policy tools, to sharpen legal frameworks, and to bring to awareness just what is lacking and where the gaps are in our society. So I'm going to suggest at this point in time that it's a challenge that unless older people take it up, unless older people in organisations speak out, unless people start to notice what is happening, then it will just simply continue. It will simply increase. Maybe at that point, too many nasty things have happened, too many people have suffered, too much harm has already gone under the bridge. And I think we should act preventatively. That's the message, and it's a strong one, but it's an important one. And I think that other countries have been grappling with this. We're not alone, and that was part of the reasoning behind the Age Friendly City, was finding a way to celebrate positive ageing and to actually get people to value older people, to do the opposite, if you like, and strengthen the opposite as a way of acting preventatively against what could be concerned or conveyed as a breakdown of society and a lack of respect for elders being part of that. The research that Dr. Paul Spoonley was bringing up at the conference made interesting reading, and I will get him onto the program because he's agreed to do this, and he's also, I think, talking widely about the impact on immigration and on different ethnic groups. And he's got a book that he's going to bring out, which is a revamp of what he had previously written about hate speech, but it's now within the context of post-Christchurch. I think it will be very, very seminal because he's a very robust, evidence-based thinker. His work is conceptual. It's not reactive, and therefore it's going to have strong effect, I think, across the board. So I look forward to doing that in the new year. And in the run-up to Christmas, of course, we have a lot of people focused on issues around family, and it's often a time when tempers get short, when people feel dislocated from within their families, or they feel tension around having to cater for people, communicate with people they don't see very often. It can be a very tense and difficult time. It can be a time where family violence is on the increase. It can be a time when those who have to deal with the consequences, the police and other agencies, are overstretched because they won't leave. And sometimes they're denied leave because of the intense workload. I think it's a very difficult time. And then you throw into that the housing crisis and the fact that some people get their notice to vacate their place before Christmas, and that threatens their stability and future. And some people get notice that their job is ending. So whatever family celebrations you are going to, it's probably a really good idea to expand your capacity to listen. And maybe even though you might want to say a lot of things, keep some of what you want to say on the back burner and actually work hard at listening. Work hard at actually hearing what people are saying and finding out what's going on in their lives. And sometimes older people are great listeners. Sometimes they can be very helpful in terms of providing support, particularly to young people. And this has been shown in the research that young people are often saying that the person they trust the most, the person they really rely on to talk through things with is their grandparent or their auntie or their uncle. So never underestimate your contribution to peace at Christmas simply through how you listen, your willingness to just think more about them and think about how much you can provide in terms of that relaxed, quiet way of listening and hearing what is being said. Just that soft, relaxed tone can make such a difference. It's so different from parents who are harassed and who are rushing around at 90 miles an hour and trying to do a lot of things and fit a lot into a short space of time and haven't got that extra capacity to take on board maybe what they need to hear but haven't got the time to. So I've selected a track for you this time, Peace in the Neighbourhood, Nathan Haynes, popular New Zealand artist, because I thought it was timely and fitted in quite well with our topic. So I hope you enjoy it. And then we'll come back and chat some more. welcome back. And at this point, I'm just wanting to say that we're continuing through the holidays. So if you're looking for a bit of relaxing chit-chat and a bit of reflection on things that's happened over the year and what might be in the future for the new year, both for Senior Focus, for our senior communities, and what's happening just in terms of actual fun things and events, because there's a lot on, and Our Auckland is a really good source of information. If you haven't got it in your letterbox, at the library they have copies, and they also have a large print version, which is really, really useful for anybody who's got visual problems, low vision. The large print version is a joy. And even I like looking at it. Sometimes when my eyes are tired and I've done lots of papers, it can be quite a delight to be able to sit back and not have to squint at something. So have a look in your library for that. There are lots of free events. If you've got grandchildren, particularly 9 to 12, there's a lot going down on Queen's Wharf. There's a lot of dance, art. There's, of course, the fun park down at Silo Park. It's a real delightful area to take children to. And I would recommend that you look at doing an outing like that. And also, the art gallery is always a great place to go. And they have a wonderful children's section in the art gallery. It's complete with all kinds of materials that they can get engaged with and do stuff with. While it's a very nice cafe for topping up at immediately adjacent, so it's not hard to make it an outing. And of course, it's most buses, bus routes come into the city, and there's quite a lot of them come near the City Gallery, so it's not difficult. Even, and if you are coming in at the bottom end, there's the red bus that will take you up through town and you can get there that way. So really, I think people don't often use buses enough to go on outings with kids, and kids really enjoy that. So it's no sweat and can give you a lot of pleasure. So think ahead. Plan ahead and enjoy those activities. And Senior Focus is going to be connecting with some very interesting people over the holiday time. So I've been already setting aside time to prepare people to come into the studio and do sessions. So we will have a full program, and we'll look forward to your being involved and listening in. Thanks. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.